All right, Psalm chapter number 12 this morning, please. Again, Psalm chapter number 12, and we'll read all eight verses and then try to give you a brief introduction as it was on last week and the 2 points from last week, and then we'll close it out in with the last 2 points that we have for today. Psalm number 12, the first verse says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own? Who is Lord over us?" God, that is boastful, is it not? I'm telling you, that is an arrogant statement. That is a fearful statement, almost bordering on blasphemy, for someone to make that kind of a statement. And we'll prevail with our lips. And you know something? That, fellas, and this is not in my thought today, but I want to give it to you. That is the very idea of the news media in America today. Our lips will prevail with what we say. Now, if you can get a hold of what I'm trying to tell you, you remember I said this psalm was related to the condition, the spiritual condition of the world upon the beginning of that 8,000th year. It reveals the rebellion and the ungodliness in the heart of man. And is not man today to the point where they've gotten the idea that with their lips they can prevail over anybody? What they say bears so much weight that they can have victory over anybody. You can take your tongue and your lips and twist and distort and say things that will twist and distort the minds of people, and that's exactly what we're seeing in America today. Did you know that Bill Clinton, and God, I may not even get to my legend, did you know that Bill Clinton has got a higher popularity rating than Dwight David Eisenhower had when he was president? And he was a general in World War II that led our forces to victory in the war. And yet Bill Clinton's popularity rating in America with the people stands higher than what Eisenhower did. You know why? He's a very persuasive. He's a very persuasive man with his lips and his tongue. He's got charisma, the power of persuasion. That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do when he comes in on that white horse, you see. He's coming in as a prince of peace on a white horse, and he'll be very persuasive with what he says declaring peace and tranquility to prevail. But just like Clinton, now you watch it now, just like old Clinton, behind that white horse, there's three other riders to follow, buddy. And the last one's that dark horse. Now death and hell are riding that last horse. And so it is with Bill Clinton. A man speaks with his lips, see. A man speaks with his lips, really what he feels in his heart. And I just might as well go ahead and give you these points and we'll close out Sunday school because I'm not even going to give the introduction. Now, a man speaks with his lips, really what he says in his heart. And does it not say there in verse number 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak? With flattering lips. Lips that like to flatter men. That will be the spirituality, if you please, in the last days. That men will endeavor to flatter with their lips. Now, you remember last week I said that the Psalms showed a falling away. There are those that are falling away. The godly man ceases, the faithful fail from among the children of men. And then there is the failing of the faithful. The faithful of God's people fail upon the earth. But when we look at the other side of the coin now, we're looking at, it says then in verse number 2, that they will have flattering lips. Now, I want everybody to look right up here at me. Have you ever been around that kind of a guy? Here's what Charles Spurgeon says about someone with flattering lips. I believe Bill Clinton is an ideal example of exactly, in the political field, although I hate to say this, but there are preachers today and church members that are just as bad as in religion as what Bill Clinton is in politics. And you know what Charles Spurgeon said about a man with flattering lips? He said, he's a beast that bites and smiles. He's a beast that bites smiling. That's exactly what Mr. Clinton's doing, fellas. He's biting America and smiling at the same time. Do you know that is exactly what the devil does? That is precisely the mind of the Antichrist. They're like a beast who flatters with his lips and smiles while biting you all at the same time. By the way, gentlemen, that's sin. Sin is a flattering thing, but it is a beast that will smile at you and bite you at the same time. Just like that woman in the book of Proverbs, that woman with strange lips, with the attire of a harlot, how that woman can smile, but the final end, she bites like an adder. She's as bitter as wormwood. That's right. Her steps lead down into the gates of death and hell. That's right. Them flattering lips, like a beast. Now, if you'll notice, these flattering lips that we're going to see in the last days, it says that they are deceitful. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. They're deceitful. And they feel, the deceitful person or flattering lips are deceitful, and they fill the hearer with proud conceit. Do you know men love to be flattered? They love to be told how good they are. Women love to be told how pretty they are. You know, you can take a woman as ugly as a homemade fence and flatter her with your lips and convince her that she's Marilyn Monroe. That's right. And fellas, you can take a man with your flattering lips and convince him that he's anything you want to convince. That's right. That's called charisma. And that's right. And it's deceitful, and it'll puff up that hearer. Those that listen to those flattering lips. And I'm getting to a point, so just hang in there with me. And then these flattering words and flattering lips, they're vain and worthless. They absolutely have no value to them whatsoever. They're like air balls shot in a ball game. Now listen what Mr. Spurgeon says. He says complaints and or compliments rather, and fawning congratulations are hateful to the honest man. They know that if they take, they must give them, and they scorn to do either. Did you get what I said now? Flattering lips, fellas, and compliments are really distasteful to the real honest man. Only an absolute fool would enjoy somebody flattering him with their lips. How many times, men, have you that are in here that are preachers, have you preached and you've heard somebody say, "That is the best I've ever heard you." Huh? Why, you waxed so eloquent in what you had to say today. How many times have you heard somebody say that? And really down in your heart, I have. And really down in my heart, I know that what they're saying about how good the preaching was didn't have near the touch of God on it that I had the message before. They didn't say nothing about the message before. You know what I've learned about them flattering lips, buddy? They'll flatter the man of God when they ain't getting their little toe stepped on. Now, preacher, now that was real good. What they're really saying is, why don't you just hang around that area for a while and leave everything else alone? Huh? My God, I preached out in Green Valley, Arizona one Sunday morning, and I'll never forget, I preached on the traditions of men, and it was just kind of a mild-type service. I never I never really raised my voice. I've had people out there to sit and put their fingers in their ears when I preached, said I was too loud. They wanted that monotone type stuff. I'm serious. And the fellow that when I preached that morning, and it was just kind of a, you know, monotone type service, and the former pastor was still there, and he came up to me after the service, and he said, you know something? He said, if you just preach like that every time you preach, he said, buddy, you could go places in this church. Now, what that man was saying is, preacher, why don't you just preach easy stuff like that? And if you preach easy and leave us alone, stay off our toes, we got 8 millionaires in this church, and man, we can set you up for a lifetime. You understand what I'm saying? But fellas, I want you to hear me well, whether it be in the pulpit, in the pew, wherever it may be, if you are so stupid that you will stand and let somebody caress your heart with flattering lips and puff you up with pride, mark her down somewhere down the road, you're going to have to flatter back. Huh? You're going to have to give it back somewhere down the line. That's right. Old Brother Gene Masai said this statement years ago, and I've pondered it, but I've never gotten away from it. I've pondered it. I've listened, rolled it over in my heart. I've meditated upon it. And it not only applies in this area that I'm getting ready to say, but in all other areas. He said, shekels bring shackles. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, you take money, they'll shackle you. And you're expected to give it back in return. Are you hearing me? If you receive flattery, you're expected to return flattery. Huh? That's right, fellas. Old Brother Hall knows exactly what he's talking about. Shekels bring shackles. I'm telling you, one of the evils in America, in the pulpit now, don't get mad at me. One of the evils is, I'll come to your place, preach for you, you come to my place and preach for me, and ever how much of an offering I give to you is how much I'll expect back from you. I had a fellow to preach here in our pulpit years ago, and I'm being honest now, I'm telling you the fact. That man preached in this pulpit years ago, And he took up an offering for me, and I don't even like that. I'm just telling you, I don't even like that. I don't even like that. But he did, and when he got ready to leave the church, you know what he told me? He said, I give him a check, and he looked at it, and he said, praise God. He said, that's all right, but he said, I got more for you than you did for me. Now, fellas, that is the mindset of America today. That's the mindset in the churches today. If I flatter you, flatter me back. Make me feel good. Come on now. And by the way, that is the idea in preaching today. From the pew to the preacher. Flatter me, preacher. Make me feel good. I mean, just build me up. I've heard them say, we want to build up the believers. Why, we want to encourage the saints of God. We want to build them up. I'm telling you, if preaching the truth flatters you and makes you feel good, son, you've got a problem somewhere. The fact of the matter is, that old book right there, preach line upon line and precept upon precept, ain't going to make you feel too good about yourself. It's going to shame you in the eyes of God and make you feel like a low dog because you realize that you cannot match up to what God says you ought to be in this book. I want to say this, there's more in that Bible, God says more in that Bible about what we ought to be than about what we are. Did you get a hold of that, fellas? There's more in that Bible about what we ought to be than about what we are. I heard old Milton Taylor this morning, I said, hallelujah to God. He said, gentlemen, he said, I am not striving to crucify Adam. He said, that's not the ultimate, that's the beginning. Did you get a hold of that? That's the beginning. Amen. I'm not trying to crucify the old man and live a spiritual life for God. The old man is already dead. That's the beginning, son. When he dies, God says right here now, when old Adam dies, Jesus takes the place. God says, that's what you were, and here's what I want you to be. Now, be it. But you preach online, and cheating and stealing, thieving, gossiping, bad-mouthing, criticizing, flirting, horma, all that, theaters, all that mess. And you know what? And folks never see themselves in the wrong. They just see the preacher as being an old fuddy-duddy, knowing what he's talking about. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, all over America today, and the point of view radio program's one of the worst I've ever seen in my life for it, to flatter people about how good humanity is. Son, the reality, we're not progressing, we're degressing. And there's not a majority in America that's going to live right and serve God. No, sir. I'm telling you who that, buddy. I'm telling you what's in the majority is the hellions and the devil's crowd and the lip flatterers and the tongue flatterers. But God's remnant has always been in a minority, always has been, always will be, and will be come eternity. I'm going to tell you, Jesus knew what He was saying when He told that little handful of believers, fear not, little flock. He didn't say, fear not, multitudes, all of you, universalism. Fear not, little flock, for it hath pleased the Father to give unto you the kingdom. Hallelujah to God. One thing that we can rejoice in, men, no matter how flattering they become and how wicked the world gets, it still pleased God to give us a kingdom. Woo! We're still going through. No matter how wicked things get, we're still going on. That's right. That is absolutely right. Amen. And look what he says now in verse 5. He said, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. You know what Spurgeon said? Spurgeon said, he who puffs at another's heart has nothing better than wind in his own. You get that, fellas? He that puffs up another's heart has nothing better than wind in his own. That's good. That's good. And look here. And you know what that puffing up that heart, you know what? Has nothing but air in his own and puffs up a heart. Do you know what the bottom line is of that gentleman? Because that wind that puffs up somebody else's heart and is full of air themselves is void of truth. Bottom line, truth does not puff up. Truth liberates and sets free. That's why we're living in a day when men heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You want to say something about the truth in that verse? Huh? I'll try to find that here right quick and see what it says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from what, gentlemen? From the truth. Do you know why they turn away from the truth? It's because they enjoy being flattered and puffed up and told how good they are. That's what's wrong with the First Baptist Church, and that's what's wrong with the Southern Baptist Convention, and that's what's wrong with John Wesley's old movement, and that's what's wrong with independent Baptists today. They would rather be flattered and puffed up rather than to let the truth have the truth, let the air out of their bag. John, truth don't puff you up, it'll let the wind out of your sail, boys. Bring you down where the rubber meets the road and show you what you really are. I tell you, it'll be a happy day in independent Baptist churches when we all, from the pulpit out, realize that God found us in a dunghill, and if it hadn't been for the grace of God, we'd still be in the dunghill, and God's got the power to send us back to the dunghill, and it's only by grace through faith that we are what we are. We ought to rejoice in the power of God to lift us out, cleanse us, and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I'm going to tell you something. If you're really saved now, if you're really born again by the grace of God, fellas, you won't walk puffed up. You will walk the truth, because the truth will help you to endeavor to strive for the perfection that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's right. That's right. That's truth, boys. That's truth. I tell you what. Now I'm going to say, I'm not going to tell you who it was. But I'll tell you this. I had one of the ladies in our church. Still here. To ask me and my wife in the office, it's been months ago now, maybe years ago. And we walked in there and sat down, and she sat there and she said, "Now, Brother Hall," she said, I battle with this thing about this and that and how you feel about me and one thing and another. And she said, "I don't want you to cut any corners. She said, I want you to tell me exactly, one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, exactly what you think I am and where I stand with God and what's in my life that would offend God." I said, "You really want to know?" I said, "You know what you're saying?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." I said, "One-on-one, we're not preaching, ain't got a whole church full, just you and me and we sitting here." "Oh, yeah, Brother Hall, I want to hear it." And I went down the line, boom, 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 boom. You know what? About 2 seconds, that lady was a-crying and a-squalling. She said, "My God, am I that bad?" I said, "Abe, yes, you are. And a whole lot worse, too." Amen. And so, and I got news for you, big boy. So are you and so am I. We are a whole lot worse than what we think we are. We have been puffed up by society, by education, self-esteem. Lift yourself up. Grab your boots. Pick up. Lift up. Be somebody. Be something. When all the time the Bible says, don't build up. Go down. Go down. The way up is down. Go down. Go down. The way up is down. You are nobody. He's everything. I'm going to tell you what I've seen. I've seen a mighty growth in that young lady since that day. Of course, she finally realized, she had somebody tell her the truth. Instead of puffing her up, and she got told the truth and realized exactly what she is. Huh? When you realize what you are, it'll help you. It'll lift you up. That's right. He who puffs up another's heart has nothing better than wind in his own. That's right. Now, fellas, hey, notice verse number 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. There's the thought. And the tongue that speaketh proud things. Notice what he says there. Flattering lips and a proud tongue are classified, or they're classed together. Proud lips, tongue that speaketh proud. I'm trying to find it here. Let me hold on here. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. There it is. And the tongue that speaketh proud thing. The first flatters another, while the second flatters himself. Flattering lips will flatter another, while a proud tongue will flatter you. Look who I am. Oh, Brother Billy Vincent, and I love old Brother Billy. Honest, I know his relation to you, Brother Robert, and I love him. But he was over here a while back, and he walked out to the door, and he said, "Brother Hall," he said, "I envy you." I said, "Don't envy me, man." He said, "I envy you." I said, "Why would you envy me?" And he said, "Man, you're looking at it from this side, and everybody else out there is looking at it from the outside looking in." He said, "This radio station and stuff, man, everybody here," and he didn't go into a lot of detail, "everybody hearing you and this and that." He said, "Man," he said, I envy you." Well, now look here. Old Brother Billy, I don't think he meant a thing in the world by it. You understand what I'm saying? But in reality, what he was doing was flattering me. You're somebody. You're somebody. But look here, it would have been easy for Brother Hall to come in here and sit down and say, "Hallelujah to God, yeah." Now you see what? He's flattering. He's flattering me with his lips now. Now my proud tongue. Praise God, I am somebody. Everybody in the country ain't got a church with a radio station voice. Hallelujah to God, buddy. I mean, I've got the voice of America. That's my friend. Reaching about two counties, and we got the voice. You see how it can just grow and balloon, fellas? That proud, you see, you start complimenting yourself on how good you are and what you've got. I'm going to tell you what it'll go. What it'll do, it'll grow and balloon and mushroom. And son, after a while, you get to thinking that you are really, I'm talking about you are really somebody in your own mind. You know what that's called? Pride. You know what the Bible says about pride? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Mark her down, fellas. That goes right back to what I said a while ago. You get flatter, you give it. You get it, you give it. You get it, you give it. And it doesn't. And the only thing it leads to is a proud, arrogant heart and the downfall of your spirituality. Like the walls of Jericho, you'll fall, buddy, when you fall into that pit and that snare. You sure will. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something else now. Notice verse number 2. And I'm just juggling around here and all these flattering lips. He said, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. Now, I've already been saying some things about the flattering lips, but what about this double heart? With a double heart. With a double heart do they speak. One man suggested, he said, a heart and a heart. Two hearts. A double heart. That's what it says. With flattering lips and with a double heart. Two hearts. One working in one direction, one working in the other direction. One pulling in one angle, one pulling in the other angle. Now here's what, listen very carefully now. There's one heart for the church and another for the change. There's one for Sundays and another for working days. If you please, gentlemen, if you please, it compares with James chapter 1 on a double-minded man. Two minds. One mind thinking one thing and another mind thinking another thing. That's why men are unstable. That's why men are indecisive. That's why men cannot make up their minds and settle their minds. They're two-minded. They're two-hearted. They're two-spirited. They're trying to think in one way and trying to think in another way at the same time. And gentlemen, it won't work. Charles Spurgeon said, a man without a heart is a wonder, but a man with two hearts is a monster. And he is a monster. Hey, James said double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. He's like Reuben, son. He's as weak as water. Double-minded, double-spirited, double-hearted. Look here. The real idea is there that you think. Now, I didn't say you live it. I said you think one way on Sunday and think another way on Monday. You act one way on Sunday and act another way on Monday. You talk about John 3:16 on Sunday and tell dirty jokes on Monday. You're saying, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday, and on Monday you go out and you act one way on Sunday and act another way on Monday. You talk about John 3:16 on Sunday and tell dirty jokes on Monday. You're saying, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday, and on Monday you go out and listen to little jokes and little slur remarks from somebody that you're working with. You cuss a little bit. You lose your tongue. You say, are you all listening to me, fellas? Hey, we're living that. That depicts the very character and nature of the day that we're living in Christendom. And I'm going to tell you the reason it does is because our churches are filled up with religious hellions that don't know God. Now I want you to hear me. And this is going on tape and it's going in a book, so I won't. But I had a preacher's wife to call me just a couple of weeks ago. And this woman wanted me to help get a petition to keep the hogs out of Hopkins County. Okay? Now I'm fixing to lead you to something. I said, well, I'll pray about it, see what the people think about it. We'll see what we can do. I ain't done nothing, don't know what I will do nothing. Because I don't know whether the hogs had hurt or helped. And something I'm ignorant on, I'm not going to pass my opinion on it. You'd do well to do the same thing. Fellas, don't judge a book by the cover. Don't judge anything by how it looks on the outside. Make sure you got a good look on the inside before you start judging what it is. That's right. And this woman went on to say some things. I don't remember how long the conversation went. But then in the conversation was brought up some fella in town, and it may have been who you were referring to, that was in a church, was a deacon in church. No, it was a man. See, I know what it was. This woman, another woman called her and said, called her by name and said, I need some help. I go to First Baptist Church, and said, the man said, I'm divorced and I'm dating a man up there, and said, he looked, I thought he was a real fine man and blah, 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 and this and that, and said, I've dated him a couple of times, and said, now I've learned after I've been dating him that the man drinks liquor. Now here's what the preacher's wife said. She said, I told her, now that is not a good situation. But understand now, we cannot judge that man whether, I don't know whether he's lost or whether he's saved. You hear me well. Son, when that book says ain't no drunkard going to heaven, buddy, I'm not judging that man. That book's judging that man. I said, what are you making? What point are you making, Brother Hall? That woman's got two minds. She don't know what she believes. She wants to be right, but she does not want to stand with right when it condemns wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fellas, the rubber meets the road whether we believe or not. When we stand with right, if it condemns wrong, when it brings the ball into our court. Does it condemn? If truth condemns you and you can say amen to it, that's right, I need to get right, then you may be living in truth. But son, if truth condemns you and brings that into your court, and you say, well, he's talking to somebody else, not me, I doubt very seriously that you've ever been to Calvary. When Paul said, let this mind be in you, he didn't say, let these minds. Not let these hearts, not let these spirits. One word, one faith, one baptism, and one Holy Ghost. That's right. I'm going to tell you something. I believe saved people think like Jesus does. I believe saved people think like Jesus thinks. In fact, I know they do. That's right. Man with a out of hearts a wandering, a man with a two hearts is a monster. Now there's the flattering lips, but notice verse 6 and 7, the Father's words. Woo! Hey, gentlemen, look right up here. We're living in that last day, but I've got news for you. God still got something to say. Did y'all hear what I said? God still has something to say about this thing. This man with flattering lips said, who's Lord over us? With our lips we'll prevail. It's not what God says, it's what we say that counts, buddy. That's the idea and philosophy of today. They don't care what God says, it's what I say that counts. Buddy, that's the philosophy of today. I know the Bible says this, but thinking Billy Goats. I know God said it, but he'll look in another direction. He'll change his mind. He's love. God just loves everybody. I heard Maddox and them talking the other day and said that talking about homosexuals being saved and born again. You hear me well, friend? I'm not saying that a man or a woman that has dabbled in homosexuality cannot be saved, but you hear me well. When they pass the stage of Romans 1, they are reprobate. People don't believe that. You know what this is going to do? You hear me well? This is going to open up the door. That liberal junk and double-minded trash and two-spirited innuendo is going to do nothing but open up the church house door and bring sodomites, gays, lesbians, and queers
right into the house of God and give them a comfortable place to sit there. Amen. I'm going to tell you what they'll do. They'll wind up having good church members, boys and girls in the closets, in the bathroom, dabbling in that junk with them and perverting, polluting, defiling the house of God. Somebody said, you don't have any love. Yeah, I do. I love everything God tells me to love. I love sinners. I love the brethren. And I love the Lord Jesus. But I'm not commanded anywhere to love sin. And I'm not commanded to love a reprobate. I don't find anywhere where God ever sympathized with sodomites. Nowhere. Nowhere, gentlemen. Judgment, but not sympathy. And I'm going to tell you something else about them. Everybody thinks that they're just little old perverts. It's so sweet, and they wouldn't ever hurt nobody. That's what the news media thinks. Oh, it wouldn't hurt nobody. I've got news for you. They're vicious, and they're violent people. You don't believe me, buddy? Look in the account of chapter 19 in the book of Genesis when there's a beating and a banging on Lot's door, son. They were vicious! That's right, they ain't. They made suckers with that long hair, letting some man lead him down the street with a dog collar around his neck and a chain. I'm going to tell you, I've got somebody I heard telling her, they said, well, they need the gospel and preachers or to counsel with them. I've got their counsel. Matter of fact, I've got 12 to 15 of them up there in my safe right now. Either one of them I want can counsel well. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Flattering lips and a proud tongue. But God's got something to say. They're talking about their words. Who's Lord over us? But verse 6 said, the words of the Lord are pure. Theirs are flattering, but mine is pure, says God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is pure, undefiled, unadulterated, holy, without a blemish, no spot. Pure, that's right, sweet, wonderful, powerful, loving, kind, bold. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Pure words. They're preserved words. What he said in the next verse, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Ah, listen, these men all over the country. Let's preserve the King James Bible. Let's preserve what God said. Gentlemen, he hadn't had any problem preserving it up to now. Can I say that the Bible has passed through the furnace of persecution, literary criticism, philosophic doubt, and scientific discovery. And gentlemen, she has nothing left clinging to her but the error and the fallacy of those that endeavored to defile it. She's still pure! Science says, oh, the earth is 499 billion years old. I say it's about 6,000. Somebody said, well, how can that be? I mean, how can this happen? If scientists would see, they just don't believe in God, gentlemen. God don't have no problem creating. God didn't create Adam a little boy and let him grow. God created Adam a grown man. He created the earth a grown earth. A daddy earth. Not a baby boy earth. A daddy earth. A man earth. And scientists, the literary experts of America, why, it was only written by a man. Woo! I won't say that again. Woo! That God would let some little puny man, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, sit down and write the Bible. Hallelujah! What a glorious gift to the sons of God that He had let us write down His infallible in our word that is the stand through the ages.
that wonderful? That's right. And not only give it to men, let men give it in the hearts of men that they might pen it, but brethren, preserve it in a book. And let you and I have the glorious privilege of opening up not A book, B book. You know what Bible means in Latin? It means the book. Not a book, the book. You know what it means in Greek? The book. Not a book, the book. If it was a book, there may be other books comparable to it, but there ain't no book can compare to that book. It is the book of all books. Hallelujah to God. And God preserved it. He purified it and preserved it and gave it to you and I that God the Holy Ghost might prepare for heaven and guide us safely over on the other shore. Amen. Thank God, take one, Jerome. Better hurry, Penguin. I'm right on your heels. Hey there! That's what I love. Help yourself, Jerry. That's what I love about that book, gentlemen. Amen. Purified and preserved for you and I today. Well, that 8,000th year, still 1,007 years off at least, but it ought to give us an idea of the spiritual condition of the hearts of men when that last, when Jesus winds her up, when Satan is loosed for a little season. When he's loosed, the multitudes of the world will flock to him. Gentlemen, they're not flocking there because they're converted. They're flocking there because they're perverted. That's right. God help us. Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour. Help us in preaching in Jesus' name. Amen.